kind of unveiling some plans for the upcoming months and talking through a few different things. But it's an especially exciting Sunday for me just to have my brother Gio in the house today again. It's been so encouraging just having Bible studies with Gio, and as Will shared, just seeing his heart for God, and he's a great brother. And if you don't know him, get to know him, because he'll make you smile and build your faith. So I'm encouraged to have him here this morning. But it is exciting. You know, as I said, we've handed out the calendars. We've got a few different new things we're going to be talking about, and really hearing some vision and some plans for the Long Island ministry for the next couple of months. So I'm excited. We're going to be kicking off a new theme today for the next couple of months. So it'll be, I think, helpful in anticipation for some upcoming things to kind of focus our minds. But our theme for the next couple of months is going to be Thrive. And we've got that up there. Okay, good. We got it. So Thrive is a great theme, I think. Thrive really kind of encapsulates a lot of what we want to do as a Long Island ministry. The definition of thrive is to grow vigorously, to flourish, and to prosper. And really, as God's church, that's what we need to be doing on the earth, right? We need to be growing, flourishing, and prospering. And I wanted to use this theme especially because there's a conference coming up in July that we've been talking about, July 20th through the 22nd. And it's going to be a phenomenal time. It's going to be all of the disciples from the New York family of churches and the New England family of churches coming together in Providence for not just a leadership retreat or not just a campus retreat. This is going to be a conference for every disciple in that geographical area. So it's going to be an incredible time, and we're encouraging everybody to sign up. We want to see everybody go to this. That's really what we're praying for. And so July 20th through the 22nd, mark your calendar if you haven't. Registration is actually open. So you can go to our church website, and under the events tab, you can find the registration link and go ahead and just get yourself signed up right now. You'll probably get a discount for signing up earlier. That's usually how these things go. So don't delay. Sign up. And we're hoping that by focusing on this theme of Thrive, that'll really get our minds set and focused and thinking about the conference that we have coming up in July, because that is the theme of the July conference that we'll all be together for. So I'm very excited. I do believe that we are going to see some great things done over the next couple of months in Long Island. I think that to see the Long Island region take it to the next level, it is going to need to be a place of personal growth and collective growth. And Thrive really does, I think, help us stay focused on that. And so the title of this morning's collective message that we'll have together is going to be Each Part Thrives. And go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm just going to introduce it and set it up, and then we've got some great people who are going to share a little bit more about some of the vision and plans and encourage you to really help each part of the Long Island ministry thrive in the next couple of months. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says this: "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." One body, many parts. You know, for the whole body to thrive, this is true biologically, but this is also true spiritually, the Bible says. Every part needs to be functioning and healthy for the whole part, the whole body, to be working properly. And so as we're talking about this morning, we're going to be thinking about the different parts of the Long Island ministry and really helping everybody think about how each part can thrive and do its part to make the whole body work together in a healthy and thriving way. There's different ministries, different parts within the Long Island region. You know, we've got a couple different ways that we structure the ministry, and we're going to be talking about that in a few minutes. But I wanted to read another scripture in 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. It says each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. You know, this is a scripture that talks about serving. It talks about using what God has blessed you with to be able to build up that body as a whole. And so as we're talking about each part being healthy, being strong, thriving, it really is with the goal of each person giving what God has given them to build this thing together. In order for there to be a thriving church, we need more and more people using their gifts and serving in this way. You know, I'm so grateful for every hand involved. There's really so many ways that and opportunities, I think, as a church that we have for every member to serve. And I do feel like every member is contributing. Every member is serving. And there's so many of you who serve in such great ways. You know, as I said, there are different ways we kind of structure the group of the church. We've got small groups. And in those small groups, we've got small group leaders. Those people serve. We've got service teams that we kind of break the church into service teams to fulfill many of the different service roles. And in those service teams, there are leaders of those service teams. And those people do some incredible work. The things that you don't see them do is incredible, not to mention the things that you do see them do. But there's also, as we've talked about in the past, we have another group, the Long Island Leadership Team, which we've talked about. You know, that's the Murphys, that's the Eliases, and that's me, myself, and Tiffany, as well as Greg. And we've been functioning as a Long Island Leadership Team for a while now, and it's been a really helpful group. You know, as we've talked about plans that we want to see accomplished and making some decisions for the region, and not just kind of me and Tiffany thinking about what we should do, but really using that group to figure out, okay, what's best for the church? How do we need to move forward here? And they've been really, really such an encouragement to us. I mean, they've been so willing to serve however we've asked. But the planning aspect and the decision-making aspect, really, when we put together the leadership team, that was really only one of the three different goals that we had with that group. If you remember, I shared the three goals that we had in kind of pulling this group together. And planning and making decisions was one of those goals. But there are two other goals that I shared. I want to reiterate them this morning. The first goal is to maintain a more focused evangelistic effort for the lost souls of Long Island. That was one goal. The second goal was to help better address the needs of the disciples in the Long Island region. And obviously, as I said, the third was to form faith-filled plans for the Long Island region and make decisions to move forward. So I do believe that it's been effective using that group to form plans. But I'm encouraged because this morning we're going to be talking about how moving forward, I believe God is going to work through this group and the ministries that we have in the church and some of the things that we're going to talk about to really help those other two goals be more accomplished in the Long Island region. So I'm very excited. I think one big need to accomplish that is that we need point people to work with each of the different life stage ministries in the church. What do I mean by that? Well, we have our campus ministry, we have our youth and family ministry, we have our edge ministry, which is our singles ministry, and we have our marrieds ministry in the church. And I believe that for God to take that to the next level, we really do need people to be responsible for each of those ministries, to lead and oversee, not to do all of the work, but to lead and oversee those different ministries and to focus on those ministries. You know, as we look through the Bible, we see God work as responsibility is shared. We see it all over. As Jethro told Moses to choose men to lead different groups of different sizes, and we see more and more needs getting met. You know, you think of David with his mighty men. He had leaders over his mighty men, and more is getting accomplished. They were able to conquer more and be able to continue to fight more for God. Nehemiah, as he's rebuilding, appoints leaders in various different roles for God's people after he rebuilt the wall. Jesus choosing the 12 apostles to lead with him among his followers. We see God bless this all over the Bible. And in Acts chapter 6, one of the more memorable passages about this topic, the church in Jerusalem, they're collectively kind of figuring out how to meet all the needs. And so the apostles, they choose men and men to be able to help meet those needs and to oversee some of those different responsibilities. And the result of that, in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, says this: "So the word of God spread. the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. That's what happens when responsibility is spread out, when people are enabled to kind of focus and own different parts of the church. And really, that's a godly, biblical principle. And so we're really excited because as we've been thinking about this and planning for this and striving for this, we really are going to get to hear a little bit how God has been working to help us get in that position. And so we're going to hear from some of our leadership team members this morning. Because as we've talked about this, Tiffany and I have asked each of the leadership team members to really take one of these ministries and to own one of these ministries and to focus on it and be responsible for it. Now, again, this does not mean they're doing all the work in those ministries. I want to clarify that. But together, we're going to work to really build these ministries, but it's going to take somebody focusing on each ministry. And so I'm very excited. You know, Greg has been faithfully leading our young singles ministry alongside Vianney, and that's been going really well. We're encouraged because Greg has agreed to expand his role in leading and lead the Edge ministry in its entirety. So Greg is going to be leading our singles ministry from now on in an official way. We're very excited about that. You know, the Murphys, they really stepped up in a big way. You know, we were thinking about, okay, what do we need to do? Tiffany and I felt like, and we've got a lot of input on what we need to focus on, and the advice we've gotten and the decision we came up with is that we really need to focus on the campus ministry, on building the campus ministry on Long Island. So we're going to continue to focus there as we work together to really build the whole region. But Dan and Agnes, we asked to lead the marrieds ministry. And that's a big ministry. You know, that's a lot of you. A lot of you are married. And there's there's a lot of, you know, obviously complexities and things that as you get older and as you're married for longer are not there with, you know, the teen ministry or the singles ministry or the campus ministry. And so we've asked them to lead the marriage ministry. And by faith, they have said yes. So we're very excited that they are going to be doing that. And as we were discussing that, you know, we talked about the importance of getting a team around them to help. And as we talked and kind of thought, you know, we both kind of agreed just immediately on a great couple that would be an incredible help to them and part of their leadership team. So I'll let them tell you who that is, and they're excited to be working with them, I know. But I believe that that team is going to really help the marriage ministry. Again, just to clarify, what they are not is that they're not the marriage firefighters, right? They're not the, you know, oh, I've got this issue in my marriage and you know, things are crippling. I need to spend 10 hours with you. That's not what they're going to be. They're there to help. They're very encouraged to help shepherd the marriage ministry and listen to you and give input and share scriptures and pray together and direct and work with the small group leaders to help people get connected and get the help that they need. But I just want you to be mindful as we're talking about their responsibility. Please try to understand exactly what their role is and what it is not. So just to clarify that and try to help them, they're going to clarify a little bit about their vision and their plans for the marriage ministry. I'm very excited about that. And lastly, the youth and family ministry. This is something I'm very excited about. You know, the youth and family ministry, we've really operated in a lot of ways as a teen ministry and as a preteen ministry. And we've seen God really bless that. But as we're kind of gaining some momentum as a movement, even with the youth and family ministry and even in New York, we've been talking about shifting gears and trying to make it more inclusive and really more focused on family ministry. And so we've been talking with Bonnie and Alan about how we can really think that way instead of some of the ways that we've been doing things. And we're really excited for some of the plans that we have. But Alan and Bonnie have agreed to lead the entire youth and family ministry, which is teens, preteens, and parents of those groups. So again, they have a team that they're going to be working with and just using to kind of continue to build up those ministries together. But we're very excited. They've been doing a great job already leading that ministry. But we've got some exciting plans that they're going to roll out. So I'm going to stop talking at this point. I'm going to let them come up and tell you about all the great plans and exciting things that God has put on their hearts. We're very encouraged to see them passionate about building their ministries. And we really do believe that by each of us being able to focus and kind of oversee and work together, that God will really bless the ministry as each part thrives together. So at this point, we're going to have Greg come up, and he's going to share a little bit about the Edge Ministry in Long Island.
All right. Good morning, guys. I'm definitely excited to be serving in the Edge Ministry. You know, the thing I want to focus on as the Edge Ministry is for us to be present. You know, I want the singles ministry to have a presence here in Long Island. I've spoken to a lot of singles over the years, and I think the common thing that the singles kind of feel like in our church is that they feel like we're not present, or we're not important, or we can't contribute anything. So this year, I kind of want to have a focus on, you know what, we can contribute. We can be present. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 12. In Romans 12, starting in verse 4, it reads, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." You know, being present and a part of the body doesn't mean just showing up to things. You know, we want us to focus on how can we be present, but how can we serve one another? The cool thing is that with the singles ministry, there's so many different walks of life. We have the young singles, we have single parents, we have, you know, mature singles, and we all have different stages of life. And the goal is for us to be unified with our presence as an Edge ministry. Now, how are some ways we can be present as the Edge ministry? Well, we could start with our family groups, being consistent with getting together and serving our family groups. Another area is the church. You know, as an Edge ministry, I want us to give our all to the service team we're a part of. You know, whether we are teaching, I want us to be there on time. I want us to be ready to teach and serve the kids. Whether we're part of the Sunday crew, as well help set up communion and just being there to serve. Even if you're part of the subgroup, being prepared to be called upon if someone is not available to teach that day or pass the plates. But as the Edge ministry, I want us to really have that focus of how can we give to the church and how can we make an impact. We're also going to have some exciting devos. You know, we're going to have our local all Long Island singles devo once a month. There'll be some more information about that. We'll have a calendar out, but typically it'll be the last Friday of every month where the entire Edge ministry will get together. But as John mentioned before, we also have our All New York Edge Devo. You know, I want us to focus on showing a presence there. You know, to be honest, in the last year, that's probably the area where we lack the most, is not attending the All New York Edge Devos. I would love to see our attendance grow at that Edge Devo. You know, myself and a number of singles throughout the New York church, we're part of a group called the Tip Team. And we put together the All New York Edge Devos and different retreats. And, you know, it's a lot of work just so that we can encourage the Edge ministry. And it's interesting because right now I feel like the whole Edge ministry is trying to focus on how can we get more singles to the All New York Edge Devo. We have about 1,000 singles in the New York City church. And we average about anywhere from 300 to 350 that attend the Edge Devos. So we're trying to focus on how can we increase that. How can we have more people attend? So we want to make sure that we are announcing those devos to you guys far in advance. As you notice, you know, John's already announcing the next Edge Devo in February. So we want to make sure we're ahead of the curve and that you guys are aware when the Devos are happening. Also, of course, we want to be present to the world. We should not forget our mission in seeking and saving the lost. There's a lot of young professionals on Long Island. There's a lot of singles. It's encouraging. Just being a part of Geo Studies and just seeing him get baptized. It was a great reminder that there are people looking for God out there. And I know sometimes Long Island, you could think it's just mainly families, everybody's marrying Long Island, which is not true. There's singles as well. But I want us to have that focus and trying to reach out to the singles in Long Island and to bring them out to the Devos. That's the reason why we have these Devos, not just for us, but to also bring visitors as well. So as we are focusing on how we can be present to each other, let's remember that our main motivation of all of this is so that we can be present to God. And I look forward to seeing our presence being shown in Long Island this year. Amen. Thank you.
It's our turn. My name is Dan. This is my beautiful wife, Agnes, and we're both going to be sharing today. Right? You might want to give us a little more volume, Jamie. We're not as vibrant a speaker as Greg. Oh, by the way, I love the jacket. What kind of material is that? Like felt, velour? That's an entertainer's jacket. Yeah. All right. Amen. Amen. All right. So what is our vision for the marriage ministry? By the way, you were set up for that. I'll tell you about that later. So what is our vision for the marriage ministry? We envision marriages that glorify God and strengthen each other as a married couple. Agnes is going to share scripture with you right now in Ecclesiastes.
If you want to turn to Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, it says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken."
So did you notice how that moved from two to three? It's almost like a footnote at the bottom of the scripture, but it's very, very important. Our marriages must be centered around God. God is that third strand. If we stick to just two, we're not going to make it. It's going to fail. God has to be there. All right? So let's think about our spiritual journey here for a second. If you're lucky enough, the preteens aren't in here anymore, but if you're lucky enough to be born into a spiritual family, you get to go through preteens and Bible lessons and everything, and it's great. Then you go into the teen ministry. Sometimes teens get baptized as disciples. Sometimes they don't. After the teen ministry, you end up in the campus ministry. All right? So how long are you in the campus ministry? 4 years? Hopefully, yeah. Exactly. So after the campus ministry, what are you, 22, 24 years old, and you go into the singles ministry, right? In the singles ministry, some people may decide to be single for the rest of their lives from that point, but for the most part, even from the singles ministry, you move on to the marriage ministry, which is by and far the largest ministry in the church. Now, this next point is for Mike and Tatum. If you get married in your 20s, you could be in that marriage ministry for upwards of 50 years. 50 years. Think about that. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So do you think it might be beneficial to get it on straight with God in the beginning rather than the end of all that? If you get it on straight with God in the beginning instead of waiting way down the road till you finally had enough, you could be in for decades of struggles. So think about it up front, early. Get it on right. Our goal is to help the married see the wonderful gift they have been given by God in each other. Agnes is going to share another scripture in Ephesians.
Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us.
So your marriages are in different phases. You know, there's no two married couples here that are identical in the phase that they're in right now, it seems. No matter where your marriage is at, the key is to tap into God's power. Believe we think we can do immeasurably more, just like the scripture says. Right? And we can do that because we have God's Spirit in us. So always believe you can do more for your marriage. Next, we need each other. We need each other. Agnes is going to share another scripture.
Hebrews 10:23-24. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds."
We should not do marriage alone. We need to encourage each other. And by this, I'm talking about married couples encouraging each other, not just husbands and wives in their marriage, but other couples encouraging other couples as well. Right. To that end, what John alluded to earlier, another couple to help us that we all instantly thought of, especially John and Tiffany, they're like, "Well, hey, how about Joey and Kathy?" We're like, "Yeah." Joey and Kathy, would you please stand up? Yeah. They're going to be joining us in helping in the marriage ministry officially. Okay? So they even helped us with what we're presenting here today, and I'll share that with you in a little bit. Did it? All right. That thing's not silenced, huh? Okay. Joey and Kathy have been a great source, as well as many other couples in the Long Island region, a great source of strength and wisdom in our marriage, and we're grateful for all of them. We depend on others for help. When we depend on others for help, we will not only strengthen our own marriage, but we're going to strengthen this spiritual family all around us as well. So remember, huge ministry, 50 years, we need each other, all right? It's foundational to our relationships, and in order for us to thrive, John said it, thrive, we need others in our lives. All right. So in Proverbs 5:18, it says, "May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Enjoy the bride of your youth. God has blessed you." This is one of Joey's favorite scriptures with concern to his marriage, and we wholeheartedly agree. We want and we need to have fun. Agnes will share some ideas that we've had been thinking about.
Okay, so we would like to have a lot of married events designed to encourage and deepen your relationship in your marriage, but also with one another, so other marrieds especially. Some ideas we have is a marriage workshop. I think you received the calendar, so it's on there. It's on April 7th. But in addition to that, that would be actually in place of a marriage retreat this year, because usually every year we do a marriage retreat. And the reason being is we also, as John mentioned, for Thrive, we really want to encourage everybody to go to Thrive, because usually at those kind of conferences or retreats, they have different tracks. They'll have a marriage track, a singles track. And so we want you to get that in a bigger picture. So hold April 7th, on your calendar for the workshop. We would also like to have some midweek classes that would be focused on, that would be married center. So we might split up the group, singles and marrieds. And we would also like to plan social events. For example, some ideas we have is dance lessons, salsa dancing, or ballroom dancing, bowling events, progressive dinners. movie nights under the stars. These will be an addition made to the calendar, so they're not on the calendar yet. We're still working on that. And we're open to any other fun ideas that you, as a married ministry, would give to us. And the idea is faith and fun, just to have a lot of faith, deepen our faith, and to have lots of fun together.
Hold on to that mic. She's going to share another scripture with us right now in Romans.
Romans 12:10. I feel like I should be singing a song right now. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves.
Honor one another above yourselves. If you woke up, I'm going to read you something here. If you woke up one morning and an $80,000 Porsche was sitting in your driveway, how would you treat that special gift? You'd sell it, right, Will? Donate all the money. If you owned a vase worth $1 million, how would you hold it? No doubt about it. You would treat the car very carefully, and you would hold the vase delicately because of the value you attach to it. How you treat your mate says a lot about the way you value him or her. Honor is not a feeling. It's a choice. You choose to honor your mate, recognizing him or her as a person of worth and dignity who has been made in the image of God. A little story now. The story is told of young Johnny Lingo, who lived in the South Pacific. His culture, when a man wanted to marry a woman, he would approach her father and offer 4 cows in exchange for her hand in marriage. Johnny Lingo loved a woman named Sarita, a woman who wasn't considered to be very attractive. In fact, the islanders thought Sarita would never get married because she wasn't pretty. It shocked everyone when Johnny Lingo gave Sarita's father 8 cows, not 4. It became the talk of the island. Several months after the wedding, a visitor arrived and heard the story of Johnny Lingo and the 8 cows. Upon meeting Sarita, the visitor was astonished. He could not believe she was the same woman whom the islanders had described so negatively, for she carried herself with unusual self-confidence and regal beauty. When the visitor inquired about the dramatic change, Johnny Lingo said, "I wanted an 8-cow woman, so I treated her like an 8-cow woman." The honor and value Johnny attached to Sarita transformed her, giving her confidence that she didn't possess before. Johnny Lingo understood this principle. If you expect people to stay the same, that's where they tend to remain. But if you treat them as if they're already what, got to turn the page here, they could be, that's what they'll likely become. The power of honor can transform lives. Do you believe this in your spouse? This is from a book called Renovating Your Marriage Room by Room by Dr. Johnny C. Parker, Jr. So, to let you know that we can't lead this marriage ministry alone. Marrieds can't work together alone. They need to work with other couples. We were sitting down with Joey and Kathy on Wednesday night, and Kathy showed us this story in this book, and that was awesome. Just melted my heart when I heard it. So, thank you for sharing that, Kathy. So, you know, a few people around here have heard me say that I'm just along for the ride. Most of you know I came here to marry Agnes. I've been here 3.5 years. She's been in this ministry for probably 20, 30 years, right? Everyone knows Agnes. They love her. They see her as a solid, heartfelt, loving, giving woman. I walk in here, and all of that is on me now, you know? So, you know, I'm along for the ride. You know, she's already well thought of. Obviously, y'all are going to think well of me too. At least I hope. You know, you get to know me for 5 minutes, you might not. I don't know. But the truth is, I'm not along for the ride. My wife makes me feel more than I am. There's a couple of reasons why I'm standing here before you right now. One is because I know I can't mess this up, because God cares enough about all of you to let me and Agnes not lead you astray. And the second is, I want her to get this right, okay? And the second is because I have the support of an 8-cow woman. Thank you.
Let's go. All right, I don't need a jacket. It's going to get hot up here. All right. So, all right, my turn. So myself, Alan, my wife, my beautiful wife, Bonnie, we've been doing youth and family pretty much preteen team ministry off and on for the past 20 years in Long Island. So last night was our Teen Solid Rock in the Bronx, right? And I did share about us doing youth and family in Long Island, and I shared it with the parents' devotional. And so they were so encouraged to hear that, and they were happy, they were excited, and I asked them to pray for us, knowing that we're all doing this together with all the other parents, teen parents, preteen parents in the church, okay? So 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. It says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Right? I like Paul saying this because he wants to be a wise builder. Okay, he laid a foundation for the church as a wise builder. And we also want to do that, right, as well. We want to be wise builders for youth and family here in Long Island. So as a church, we also acknowledge that Jesus Christ is that foundation. And that's what we want to do here in Long Island. So let me define youth and family. So what is youth and family? The youth and family ministry involves the preteen and the teen ministries. Okay? So that is an 8-year right gap in age from middle school to high school. Okay? So when they graduate the third and fourth grade in the children's ministry, they go into the preteen ministry as fifth graders. When they're in preteens, they're in fifth and sixth grade, they graduate into the seventh and eighth grade, we consider that the young teens ministry. Okay? But that's still under the preteen ministry. When they go to ninth grade, okay, they go to ninth grade to 12th grade, that's high school, we consider that as teen ministry. Okay, so when they graduate that, they go to college or they go to singles. So that 8-year gap is very important for us, okay, because it involves all of them and all the parents and the siblings as well. So our youth and family sits right in between the children's ministry and the campus ministry, if you think about it. Okay, so that is what we are building. Now the goal, we want to be able to equip the parents to be the example of Christ for their family, since they have the most influence for their child. We want also use the time when we meet together to pray, to disciple each other, to encourage one another, to keep each other faithful to that, and also to keep them sharing their faith with their kids. Okay, we want strong marriages, right, with the Murphy's help, okay, so that they can be unified to show Christ's love to their family and their children. We need the help of Greg with the singles, the Strong Edge Ministry, so that they can be mentors for our teens. Okay, we want parents of our youth and family to also participate actively, right, to be involved, to keep the communications going, to host events, to drive, carpool, drive. We need drivers, okay? We need other drivers, not the same drivers, okay? Good. So, let's go a little deeper into preteen ministry. Okay, so I have a picture. Okay, so that is our preteen class back in Briarcliff about 2-3 years ago. Okay, they were playing Gaga ball. Okay, you can see that. All right. So the preteen ministry of the Long Island region of the New York City Church of Christ is an engaging and welcoming place to learn and understand God's word in a deeper way. We are fun
encouraging and recognize God as truly real and worthy of worship. Okay, that's the mission statement for our preteen ministry. Okay, if all of them showed up on a Sunday, we'd have 20 preteens in our ministry. Okay? So every Sunday, as you know, they got dismissed to their preteen class. We have the help of Dave and Joan Gonzalez, which we've been doing a monthly rotation, teaching rotation with them. And I'm glad to announce that we have JP and Astrid Omias. They're going to be joining the preteen ministry. Right? Thank you. We're so thankful for them, Bonnie and I. Thankful for your help and your support. So they're going to actually be helping us with that monthly rotation so that Bonnie and I can devote more time to the teen ministry. Okay? So our next preteen event is February 7th. Okay? That is our youth and family devotional. So if you look in your calendar, that's February 17th. It's called the Long Island Youth and Family Devo, 7 p.m. at the Comfort Inn. Okay, so that's our next preteen event. Until recently, the preteens, okay, what we've been doing? We've been studying different attributes of God. We've been studying characters of the Bible like Jonah, Esther, Jesus. And most recently, we've been studying the book of Genesis, okay, for the past few months. And we've been going deep, okay, answering a lot of their questions in the preteen classes. And so with that, I want to announce that in March, we're going to have what's called a Bible trivia challenge. Okay, that's going to be March 18th. So if you look in your calendar, that's going to be a Sunday after church. Okay, so the Bible trivia challenge will be part of that monthly youth and family devotional. And it's going to be on chapters 1 to chapters 11 in the book of Genesis. And what's going to happen is going to be the preteens and teens are going to be one team. The parents are going to be the other team. Okay? So, the email I already sent out was for the preteen parents. Now I'm including the teen parents to get involved in this challenge. Okay? So, more emails will go out with more information on that. Okay, so lastly for preteens is we have the summer camp. Okay, that's going to be Camp Shane. Okay, August 19th. So, we're going to be looking for cabin counselors. So, if you want to volunteer for that, please come to see us, Bonnie and myself, okay, to volunteer as camp cabin counselors for Camp Shane, preteen camp. Okay, so teen ministry. Teen ministry, the mission statement. Teen ministry of Long Island Region of New York City Church of Christ will guide our teens to follow Jesus Christ in both life and knowledge. Our foundation is built on Christ's love, which motivates us to gain wisdom, serve the community, develop character, and spread his words to the ends of the earth. Okay, if all the teens showed up to church on Sunday, there'll be 18 of them. Okay, that's on my roster. Okay, so high school, okay, there'll be 18 of them showing up, sitting right here, joining us for church. Currently, Andrew and Kristen are our teen workers. So, Andrew, okay, thank you. All right, so Andrew and Kristen's not here. But they've been helping with our teen ministry. They've been doing a great job pulling the boys, the teen boys and the teen girls in. So I'm glad to be a part of that team. The Rotios have asked Bonnie and myself to play a more active role in the teen ministry while overseeing the preteens. Okay? So to jumpstart our local youth and family devotionals for the teens is going to be the same event on February 17th. Okay? That Comfort Inn at 7 p.m. that Saturday. And we've realized that it's important for them to have consistent time together, more than once a month, okay? So far, they've been meeting on Saturdays, the first Saturday of every month. Now, they're going to have the first weekend and the third weekends to get together. So, we're going to be meeting twice a month, okay? So, with that, the Long Island Youth and Family Devotionals, we are expecting all parents to be there. Okay, the preteen parents and the teen parents to be there. Parents, single parents, married parents, all to be there. Okay, this is not a drop-off your kid event. Okay, you're going to be there and we're going to expect you to be there. We're going to expect you to participate. So plan your calendar so you can be there for that monthly event. Okay, this is the new mindset that we're trying to set up for the youth and family ministry. Okay, you got that? All right, good. All right. Because I realize that you as parents play a super important role in making this ministry grow and bear fruit that will last. Okay, we're going to be talking about a lot of things. We're going to talk about mentoring our teens. We're going to talk about personal Bible studies. Andrew offered tutoring. Okay, that's something that we're excited about, right? Yep, we're going to have guest speakers teach and to share. Okay, the following month after that is going to be March 3rd. I want to announce this to all of you before we send the email out. March 3rd is our Bronx Solid Rock. Okay, all the teen parents are expected to be there. Okay, why? Because all the elders are going to be there of the church. So all the elders have asked all the teen parents to be at the next Solid Rock on March 3rd. Okay? So please plan to be there. Okay? We're going to have all the carpool set up, but bring yourself there also. Okay? So if you want to be on the email list, let myself and Bonnie know. Okay? Again, March 18th, that will be our Bible Trivia Challenge. Teens are also will be competing with the preteens versus the parents. Teen Summer Camp will be at Camp Towanda that 1 week, August 12th. Okay, Camp Towanda. Okay, so let me explain. So we want you to understand the direction we're taking in this ministry. It's not the teen ministry's job to help your teen to become a Christian. Okay, rather it is the family's job. Okay, with the support of the youth and family ministry, to help build spiritual families of disciples in Long Island. Okay? So it's going to take you as a parent to be engaged, to be involved, so that we can have a successful ministry. Okay? Does it make sense? All right. So in conclusion, I just want to reiterate that like Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, we want to build wisely, and we also want to build with care. Okay? So I have some team ministry pictures to show you at this time. Okay, so that was the peanut butter and jelly sandwich gang. Okay, so if you see, we have some of our teens. Some of them are no longer teens, right? Yeah. So this was Megan and Dylan when they were a little young. There's Bonnie, myself. Okay. So who's that? Yeah. Who's that? Right. Who's that? She just got married. Right. Yeah. Who's that? Yeah. Right. Yes. Oh, yeah, Thomas, Devin, and who's that? Zach, right? Yes. Next picture. This was taken in Joey and Kathy's basement in their house. Okay, so Megan was here. Who's that? That's Ethan. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, so someone to face. Okay, who's that? Vianney. There's somebody there. Troy, back then, he helped out with the teens. Right? There's Jordan. Right? Mallory. Oh, wow. Yes. Who's that? Alex. Michael. Who's this? That's Noah. All right. Next picture. So Greg was in the teen ministry. Yes. I wore the camp t-shirt, Gladiator 2001. Right? We played in Laser Kingdom in Farmingdale. Right? And I wore my my ROTC beret. Right? That's Greg. It looks the same, actually. Right? Yeah. No, he was sitting down. I think he was sitting down. Yeah. All right. Next picture. All right. So there's Greg, right? Kia Washington, right? She was doing teens. And who's that? That's Carl. Yes, that's Carl. Okay. He was our teen also back then, right? And then there's me having a good time. Right? Good. And then next picture. So this is our most recent shot. Okay, so this was in our house. Okay, so we had a white elephant party at our house, the teens, and we had a great time, wonderful. And so I share this with you because we're building family in the youth and family. Okay, so we have a lot of memories. Okay, I take pictures, and you see me sometimes taking pictures with my camera, and I love that because when we look back in time, we see how we've changed, how we've grown, how we've matured. You know, life just doesn't happen. It continues to grow and grow and grow, and we have a lot more memories, you know, that come into our life. So, you know, I look back at these pictures and wow, this, you know, we've done a lot. You know, Brian and I have done a lot to help with our youth, and we want to continue to do that. So, with your support, we would love to continue to support the Long Island region here in the Youth and Family Ministry and continue to build, because I know that there are more kids coming through the Youth and Family. They're going to be coming, okay? So we want to be able to structure it so that we can have that support. We can build that foundation with wisdom and care, okay? And so, is there another slide? Nope, that's it. Okay, good. So that's it. I want to announce then the next event is February 17th at the Comfort Inn that Saturday. So Youth and Family Kickoff, teens, preteens, and parents, be there. Okay, we'll see you there. Thank you.
Amen. Let's give it up one more time for all three of our different ministry sharers. They did a great job. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up and get ready to close us out with one more song.